Hello, I'm ISS's Global Head of Research, Georgina Marshall, and welcome to our final instalment of the 2021 Proxy Bulletin podcast series. This July podcast is for the Asia-Pacific region, and today's focus is a review of the 2021 Japan proxy season. Joining me today is Takayuki Ishida, our Head of Japanese Research based in Tokyo, and I'm also delighted to have Takatoshi Yoshikawa, our Head of Japan Custom Research and also based in Tokyo, join the Bulletin podcast for the first time today. So let's get started with Takatoshi. Hi, Takatoshi, and welcome. Let's start off big picture. Can you give us the high-level view of the 2021 Japan season? First of all, maybe let's start with whether the global pandemic had any major impacts.
Thank you. In terms of Japanese company delivery of shareholder meeting notices, there were no significant impact from the pandemic. Also, as far as ISS is aware, unlike last year, no company have postponed shareholder meetings due to pandemic this year. However, in a new development in June, eight companies sought shareholder approval to amend their articles of incorporation, enabling them to conduct virtual-only meetings. This includes Recruit Holdings, LIXIL Corporation, Takeda Pharmaceutical, and Sumitomo Mitsui Financial Group. Some investors have raised concerns about the move to completely eliminate the physical shareholder attendance at meetings, because virtual-only meetings may impact shareholders' ability to hold directors accountable and may hinder meaningful exchanges between directors, management, and shareholders. For instance, shareholders may find it difficult to submit questions or get companies to answer them. Almost all the companies that proposed the amendment did so without specifying the situations under which they want to hold virtual-only meetings. However, an exception is Takeda Pharmaceutical. The company specified that it intends to hold virtual-only meetings in situations such as the spread of infectious disease or the occurrence of a natural disaster. This was considered to be a good example of well-specified intention.
Yes, indeed. And as Takayuki discussed in our podcast that previewed Japan season back in May, investors in Japanese companies have long questioned a general lack of transparency and accountability at Japanese boards due to insider domination. Takayuki also mentioned then seeing some positive changes in this area in recent years. Did this positive trend of increased outsiders and more independents continued during the 2021 proxy season as well?
Yes, it did continue. In Japan, there are three types of governance structures: a statutory auditor system, an audit committee system, and three committee system. In total, regardless of governance structure, the percentage of companies where at least one-third board members are outsiders reached 73% as of June 2021, which is up from 49% in 2019. Even for companies employing the statutory auditor system, which is a traditional Japanese governance system, board independence increased. Out of the companies with a statutory auditor system, as of June this year, 46% of them had at least one-third outsider representation. And in terms of board gender diversity, we find a steady gain here as well. The number of boards with at least one female director rose to 53% as of June 2021, up from 44% in 2020. While this is a good development, there is still room for improvement because the increase in female director representation can be explained mostly by an increase in number of female outside directors. We do not yet see a much gain in the C-class.
Thanks. And let's change direction from boardroom issues to look at shareholder proposals. How was the shareholder proposal space during the June Japan season?
The number of shareholder proposals voted at Japanese meetings in June was 169, which is a 2% decrease from June last year. Since a shareholder can submit up to 10 proposals at one meeting, the number of meetings where shareholder proposals were voted on is a more relevant measure on how shareholder proposals are used as a tool for shareholder engagement. From this perspective, number of meetings where shareholder proposals were voted was 40, which is a 5% increase from June 2020. In terms of proposal content, some popular topics include proposals that sought to boost shareholder returns via dividends and share buybacks, focus on promoting better board practices, improve disclosure, and ask the phase-out of nuclear power generation, a perennial topic of Japanese shareholder proposals over many, many years. In addition, notable environmental shareholder proposals were voted at Banking Group, Mitsubishi UFJ Financial Group, and the general trading company Sumitomo Corp, and Toyo Seikan Group Holdings.
Thanks, Takatoshi. And now let me turn to Takayuki for my next question. Welcome to you also, Takayuki. ISS covers nearly 2,000 Japanese meetings during the main June Japan season alone. Out of that vast range of meetings analysed this year, which are the ones, especially interesting ones, that you would highlight for our listeners from this season?
There are a few meetings and events that received much shareholder attention and deserve highlighting. The first such was at Toshiba Corp. Back in March 2021, Toshiba Corp held a special meeting in response to requests from two activist shareholders. They are Efisimo Capital Management and Farallon Capital Management on behalf of Chinook Holdings. Efisimo proposed to appoint three individuals to investigate the conduct of the company's annual meeting in July last year, 2020. Where Efisimo and another investment fund nominated the distinct candidates. The fund raised concerns over the company's vote counting practices and alleged pressure on shareholders concerning the vote. Meanwhile, Farallon requested to amend the articles to mandate shareholder approval of the company's strategic investment policies, including capital strategies. Farallon's proposal in March was defeated as it garnered the support of only 39.3%. But Efisimo's proposal to appoint three individuals to investigate the conduct of the 2020 meeting passed with the support of 57.9% at the same meeting, making this a rare case of a majority-supported shareholder proposal at a major Japanese company. The result of that investigation was released on June 10th, and in the bombshell finding, concluded that the July 2020 AGM was not fairly conducted by the company. The investigation revealed that Toshiba worked closely with the Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry, METI, in order to hinder activist shareholders, including the lead shareholder Efisimo, from exercising voting rights at the July 2020 AGM. Defense contractor Toshiba has been treated as a strategically sensitive company and is subject to the revised Foreign Exchange and Foreign Trade Act, FEA. The law is intended to prevent risks of national security-related technology information to foreign countries. Therefore, Toshiba and the Japanese government have had a close relationship. According to the investigation report released in June, Toshiba asked METI to pressure shareholder activists, and METI used the law in pressuring activist shareholders. The report argues that their actions were considered a deviation from the intent of the revised law, and the moves by Toshiba in unison with METI include acts suspected to be against laws. The investigation also revealed that Toshiba and METI worked closely to have Hiromichi Mizuno, a former CIO of Japan's Government Pension Investment Fund, GPIF, pressure Harvard University's endowment fund, Harvard Management Company, at the July 2020 AGM. At that time, Mizuno held a post of METI advisor. In response to the report findings, on June 13, Toshiba announced that Audit Committee Chair Junji Ota and Audit Committee Member Takashi Yamauchi were resigning from the board and won't be appointed as candidates at this meeting. Originally, there were three director candidates who were members of the audit committee. However, Nobuyuki Kobayashi, who was the third audit committee member, continued to be a candidate. At the special meeting in March 2021, Toshiba had denied Efissimo's allegations based on the company's internal investigation conducted by the audit committee. Accordingly, the departure of Ota and Yamauchi was considered as a natural course of action to the report, which concluded the internal investigation had been insufficient. The board results at the meeting in June revealed that Kobayashi failed to be elected, garnering only 25% support. In addition, company chairman and nomination committee chair Osamu Nagayama was not re-elected, as he received support of only 44%. Originally, Toshiba proposed 13 directors, but only 9 candidates were elected. Moreover, at the board meeting held immediately after the AGM, George Olcott, a new outside director, tendered his resignation, reportedly raising concerns about Chairman Nagayama's rejection by shareholders. In his place, current president Satoshi Tsunakawa assumed the post of chairman. Toshiba is expected to hold a special meeting later this year to appoint new directors.
Thanks, Take. And as you say, a real bombshell finding from that investigation, and a lot going on at Toshiba indeed. Earlier in the podcast, Takatoshi also mentioned how climate proposals have been drawing more shareholder attention this year. Can you provide some more color on that topic for our listeners?
Yes. Climate proposals at Mitsubishi UFJ Financial Group and general trading company Sumitomo Corp were submitted by environment NGOs. They sought a disclosure of a plan outlining their business strategy to align their financing and investments with the goals of the Paris Agreement. At Tokyo Seikan Group Holdings, activist fund Oasis Management Company submitted a climate proposal. Oasis wanted to amend the articles to disclose its business strategy within the framework of the TCFD, or the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures. None of the proposals passed, but the proposal at Mitsubishi UFJ Financial Group received 22.7% support, and the one at Sumitomo Corp received 20% support. Finally, the proposal at Toyo Seikan Group Holdings received 40.3% support.
Very good. Thanks, Takayuki. And let me come back to you, Takatoshi, with I think what will be my final question. Are there any regulatory developments in Japan deserving of shareholder attention this year?
Yes, Japan Exchange Group, which operates the Tokyo Stock Exchange, is now working on making the Topic Index, Japan's major stock index, more attractive to investors. Specifically, the exchange is in process of gradually removing the smallest company from the Topix. Related to this move, the exchange will consolidate the trading sections. Currently, there are 5 sections, but the exchange plans to reorganize the trading section into just 3 sections. Prime market, which is for companies with high liquidity and high standard of governance. The second one is the standard market, and the third one is the growth market. The reorganization will be carried out gradually and will be completed by April 2022. Companies seeking to be listed on the prime market will need to fulfill the requirements under the revised Japanese Corporate Governance Code. The most significant requirements are a minimum 1/3 independent board based on the independence criteria set out by the exchange. For the controlled companies, majority independent board or independent committee will be required. These are requirements based on comply or explain framework. So even if they cannot comply with the requirements, companies will not be delisted from the prime market. Instead, it will be required to explain why they cannot be in compliance. That's it for me, Georgina.
Thanks. And that's also it for this podcast. And this wraps up this year's ISS Bulletin podcast series as well. Thanks very much to our speakers, Takayuki and Takatoshi. And many thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in. We hope that you found this final installment, as well as this year's full Bulletin podcast series, helpful and informative. A link to all episodes of our 2021 season podcasts are available for download. Please watch your emails for information on future webinars and other broadcasts. In the meantime, from all of us at ISS, both here in the US and in Japan, thanks again for joining us. Goodbye.